So I'm going to try something that's very, very rare for me as a preacher and for most preachers in general. I'm going to try to do a 10 to 12 minute sermon. You guys ready for this? Yeah, you don't think I can, do you? Time me. Here we go. 27 after. We have a special speaker here. Well, before I start that sermon, we have a special one of the elders from River Oaks is here, and he's going to talk to us here in a few minutes. So I've got to keep my part short. But before I do anything, I want to introduce to you a couple of friends of mine. And these friends were at the original Ethos 4 years ago. At least Scott was. Scott and Aaron have been, or Scott's been a really good friend of mine for a long time. I don't know, is this my thing going crazy? Dang it, sorry. Scott's been a really good friend of mine for a long time. I love him to death. Scott, why don't you hold up your hand? I won't make you stand. Aaron, raise your hand too. This is Scott and Aaron, and so I started the church 4 years ago. It was called Ethos Church, not Ethos Presbyterian Church. And we ended up merging over with River Oaks. And then my boy Scott moved away. He moved to Arkansas, and then he got married, and now they're back. And I'm so excited. So y'all get to know Scott. He's one of my favorite people in the whole world, besides Easy, of course. And so that'd be good. And my wife, and my kids, and my parents. And you, Phil. Okay, here we go. Ready? I was watching ESPN the other night. I rarely do that. I was flipping through the channels, and I saw SportsCenter was on, and they were having a little... Hang on, let me try to fix this real quick. I got it. See if that works. All right. Sorry, guys. I didn't screw it in all the way. I was watching ESPN the other night, and as I was flipping through the channels, I saw that there was they were having a special little thing, and the Cincinnati Reds have a Down syndrome guy. He's 31 years old. And he's like the honorary bat boy. Did anybody see this on ESPN? Okay. So I was going to make a joke, but I decided not to. So anyway, how we have a bunch of techies. And I like that, actually, because I am not, actually. But dadgummit, what is wrong with this thing? All right, let's see if this works. I'm going to leave it in my pocket, front pocket. Okay, I was watching the ESPN the other night. Anyway, this kid has Down syndrome, and I can't remember what his first name was, but it was really, really cool because the Cincinnati Reds have kind of adopted him. And so you know, he's just so excited to be out there. My wife used to be a special ed teacher, and I grew to love kids with Down syndrome, and she had autistic kids and Down syndrome kids when we were first married. And I've just grown to love Down syndrome people. And this guy gets so excited every time he runs out on the field. He kind of has this real funny run with his elbows out, you know. And he picks up that bat, and he's just so proud, you know, and he brings it back. And all the team loves him. And he said to one of the Cincinnati Reds players before he went out to bat, they were interviewing him afterwards, and he said, "I told my best friend, go hit a home run for me, and I'll come high-five you when you cross the plate." And I just thought it was really cute that boy called him, you know, his best friend or whatever, and that's just so like them, you know. And so sure enough, the guy goes out in the sixth inning and he hits a home run, and so it showed him running out there, and he high-fived him, and it shows him in the dugout, and he jumps up on him and wraps his legs around him and just gives him the biggest bear hug, you know, because he really feels like his best friend just hit that for him, you know. And it was just so cool to see that, and the SportsCenter anchors just stopped their broadcast for a minute, and they just said, "This is what's great about sports. This is what's great about sports, is it brings everybody together and all these things." And they were just really touched by it, you know, and it was right in the wake of the whole Boston thing this week. But, you know, it got me thinking, when we think about the helpless, those on the outside of kind of normal society, the outcasts, the poor, when we think about people like that and we see them included, when we see that little boy who had cancer and the Nebraska football team suited him up. Did you guys see this by chance? And they suited him up in a full uniform at their spring game. and they handed him off the ball, and then they blocked for him, and all the guys were pretending like they were trying to tackle him, and they were going, go, 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 and he makes it all the way to the end zone, and they put him on their shoulders, and everybody's cheering, you know, because he has a terminal brain cancer. And it's just, when you see things like this, your heart leaps inside of you, because we were made for kingdom things like that. Okay? Deep inside all of our hearts, we are made, we are created with that inside of us. Why? Because that's us too. See, we don't see ourselves as the least of these. We don't see ourselves as total outcasts. We don't see ourselves like that, but we are. The Bible says that we are just like that. And Jesus comes and rescues us, and it's a miracle, and it has nothing to do with our own ability. It has everything to do with His grace. And that's what I want to talk to you about for just a couple of minutes. One of the key tenets of our vision statement is to live missionally. And we've talked a lot about what that looks like locally. But we have a chance to live missionally globally also. And tonight's a very special time where we're going to be talking about global missions. And in fact, even right next door, the pastor Jeremy's, he was here, he just left. Pastor Jeremy Fair, he was sitting in the back here, and they're having a missions conference over there. Ours has a little bit narrower of a focus. But what I want you to look at tonight is Matthew chapter 25. So if you have your Bibles, you might want to turn there. Chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. And here's the three things I'm going to share with you very quickly. Number one, Jesus loves children. Number two, Jesus commands us to provide for the least of these. And number three, Jesus enables us to provide. So let's jump in. Jesus loves children. God always, always includes children in every covenant that God makes with man. And now, if you've ever heard me talk about baptism before, you know, as Presbyterians, we practice paedobaptism, that's baptizing of infants, and we don't think that saves them. The reason that we baptize children is because we believe that God has always included believers and their children in the covenants that God makes with man. So you look at Adam and Eve, the covenant God made with them, and including their children. The covenant God made with Noah, it included their children. Same thing with Abraham, same thing with Moses, same thing with David, and the same thing with Jesus. God loves our children. They are on the outside. They cannot fend for themselves. They are the least of these. And God loves them. In fact, in the New Testament, we find Jesus surrounded by people who want to get close to Him, surrounded by people who want in with Him. And you know what Jesus says? When the disciples try to keep the children away, what does Jesus say? Let the children come to Me. Do not prohibit the children from coming to Me, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Jesus loves the children. And we see it all through the Bible. In fact, I did a word search on children. It came up over and over and over and over. All through the Psalms, all through the Proverbs, how to raise your children, how to deal with your children, not to provoke your children. Paul talks about children. Jesus talks about children. It's a very, very important thing. Children are important to God. Number two, Jesus commands us to take care of them. You're like, that was the shortest number one ever. Trust me, I'm going fast here. Jesus commands us to take care of not only our children, but also the least of these. Let's look at the text together. Matthew chapter 25. Hear the word of the Lord. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will place the sheep on His right, but the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, come, you who are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave Me food. I was thirsty, and you gave Me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed Me. I was naked and you clothed Me. I was sick and you visited Me. I was in prison and you came to Me. Then the righteous will answer Him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the King will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, My brothers, you did it to Me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. And they also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, truly, I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Very, very clearly we see, by the way, this is God's word. We should pay attention to it. And so what we see is we see that God is very serious about taking care of the oppressed and the poor and those in prison and feeding the hungry and giving drink to the thirsty. And that's not just a spiritual statement, although it is a spiritual statement. We are called to minister to people spiritually that who are thirsty and hungry and in prison, right? That is a spiritual comment, but it's also a tangible, physical statement as well. And we are called to take this call seriously. And we have a tangible way to do it tonight. Number three, Jesus enables us to provide. We ought to take care of those who cannot take care of themselves. We ought to feed people who cannot feed themselves. We ought to give people water who can't drink water for themselves, who can't get it for themselves. We ought to take care of those in our society and around the world who can't do it. And oftentimes we look around and we go, what am I supposed to do? I have very limited resources. What am I supposed to do? I can't take care of everyone. And sometimes what happens is we take care of no one. Sometimes we're just selfish. And we just say, you know what? I'd rather have my comforts. I'd rather have, whether it's whatever it is for you, the newest gadgets, the highest speed internet, you know, whatever it is for you. I don't want to start naming things because I don't want to be legalistic. Whatever it is, some of you, sometimes me, we are selfish and we don't want to give up comfort to help those in need. But Jesus enables us to be charitable. Why? Because he provided everything. You see, Jesus gave up everything. Jesus gave up his throne. Jesus gave up heaven to enter the world in the trough of a donkey. Jesus gave up everything to go starving in the wilderness for 40 days. Jesus gave up everything when he died on the cross and even the Father forsake him. Jesus gave up everything so that you and I would be given everything and we would be able to be generous with what we have. You see, when we see Jesus Christ as the ultimate provider, that he gives us every single thing we have, every cent in our banking account, every morsel of food in our pantry, when we see that he's the one that's provided it, we can then be generous with what he's given us. That's why we have to be hospitable. That's why we have to be generous. Why? Because he was generous to us. Look at what he's given you. Look at what he's given you. If we understand the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, we will then in turn be willing to sacrifice some comfort, maybe some college savings, maybe some vacation days to provide for the least of these. Because Jesus has made it possible. He's given you everything. And we too ought to be generous and charitable with our time and our money. What I want to do now is I want to hand it over. Was that 10 to 12 minutes? I want to hand it over to David Hall, one of the ruling elders, or shepherding elders, I guess we should say now, at River Oaks. Everybody give David a hand, if you would.
All right.